Northern Michigan University is preparing for the return of over 7,000 students to campus this fall. Coronavirus will make that experience look very different. Nearly every aspect of the campus has been modified. Coming up, a special media meet with the co-directors of NMU's emergency response team. We take an up-close look at the different work groups on campus and the efforts being made to ensure a safe return for all next. And welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Elizabeth Peterson. It's been a summer like no other for administration, faculty, and staff at Northern Michigan University. Over the past few months, the start of the fall semester has been the priority. Today, plans are underway for a return to campus. But what does that look like? Certainly a very different picture from fall of 2019. We're talking to the various groups on campus that have been working so diligently to ensure a safe start, and we're doing that today with the co-directors of NMU's Emergency Response Team, Mike Bath and Cindy Pavala. I want to thank you both for being here. This is a special program today, a little different format from our traditional show, but we wanted to really give an in-depth look at the efforts being made. Because Mike, opening campus was a decision that wasn't made lightly. There's been a lot of work, a lot of things still going on to ensure a safe start. So to begin the program, talk to us about that and what's been happening the past couple of months.
So Elizabeth, we developed 11 logistics groups to put together to talk about the different facets of campus in order to return to campus, including our facilities, our safety, health matters, logistics with technology. Obviously, we're going to have some, our classes are going to be held differently than what we have in the past. And obviously, we had to make sure we had enough technology installed to make that happen. Working very closely with our academics group trying to make sure that we're covering all the nuances. You know, it's one thing to say we're going to put a class of 18 in a room. Well, what do you do with the other 18 that might have been in that room too, because it's 36? And so we've been working very hard to modify the classrooms, modify our housing areas, dining, in order to make sure that we're doing it safely and meeting all the executive orders and CDC guidelines that have been put in place.
Sure. And so today we're going to be talking to the people that you just mentioned, those involved in the different work groups across campus. And we're going to start with testing. A decision was made early on to test all returning faculty, staff, and students. And the university is funding these tests, 8,500 of them. Cindy, why was this important?
So it was important for a number of reasons, Elizabeth. The first one is it allowed us to develop a baseline that we'll end up using throughout the year to monitor our COVID positive trends. Are they going up? Are they going down? And we wouldn't really know that accurately if we didn't know what we had coming in. So that was one of the reasons for doing the tests across the campus community. The other was that it will help us to quickly identify positive people who are asymptomatic, who don't know they have COVID, but are positive for the infection, that we can alert them and get them into quarantine protocol as quickly as possible. This is really important, you know, within our residence halls and our campus apartments, but it's also important within our, employee groups where they're working on campus, they interact with the students. And then it's also important for our off-campus students because they're living in our community. So we thought we'd do one overall big test, and that's going to give us a lot of baseline information that we can use throughout the semester.
So, you know, getting a COVID test, it can be a bit intimidating, but this particular test, it's less intrusive. And for those who have already taken it, the feedback is that it's not that bad. Our first story of the program is with Dr. Christopher Kirkpatrick and NMU student Joe Nardi. They allowed us to follow along as he was tested. Take a look.
All right, I'll take your ID here from you and I'll scan that if that's all right.
The test starts with a quick check-in, verifying information, talking through the process.
This is a shallow nasal swab, so it doesn't go all the way back.
In fact, with this test, it's so simple, patients like NMU senior Joseph Nardi are able to do the swab themselves.
It's not like what you see on social media where the swab is going pretty deep. This one is just about an inch, not even, so it's not painful, and you know, it was really smooth and I was pretty happy with the process.
Supervised by a doctor or nurse, the test requires just a few swirls of a nasal swab in each side of the nose, much less invasive than other tests. But Dr. Christopher Kirkpatrick at NMU's Valmetti Health Center says just as accurate.
Perfect. You are all set.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
We found that this is as accurate. We're looking specifically at the molecular and the genetic material of the virus. So we're looking for active virus within the secretions of the nose.
Samples will still need to be sent off to a lab, so there is a brief waiting period, as with other tests. NMU is determined to test every faculty, staff, and student before the start of classes. The hope? To catch asymptomatic patients who may not be showing any signs of coronavirus.
We always will be trying to catch up with this virus. The ability of doing this testing and getting a quick response will allow us to intervene in the cases as soon as possible, and that's very important to control the spread.
Testing is just one piece of a complex puzzle of guidelines and restrictions. Dr. Kirkpatrick stresses the importance of everyone on campus monitoring their own behaviors.
The testing is a big component of keeping campus safe, but the more important things in my mind are actually the administrative controls that are in place. The mask wearing, the social distancing, all of those things are what's going to be controlling the spread of this virus. The testing is icing on the cake.
And I want to thank Dr. Kirkpatrick and Joe Nardi for allowing us to follow them through his testing. It was super helpful to see and understand exactly what will happen. And, you know, in talking with Dr. Kirkpatrick, he was excited to share that the health center has new equipment that will allow them, after the mass testing, so this fall, be able to do the testing in-house so they won't have to send samples out, shortening that waiting period. And, Cindy, that's certainly great news.
That is so important, and it's so exciting because last winter, when we would have students or faculty and staff members who had to be tested, who may have had COVID, we weren't sure, they would be tested and the results, you know, often didn't come back for literally almost a week, and only to find out maybe they had a really bad cold. So being able to get test results within an hour or two so that we can know what the appropriate action to take is so exciting for us on campus. And we're really looking forward to the ability to be able to do that kind of testing right here on the Northern Michigan University campus.
And you know, Dr. Kirkpatrick, he stressed the importance of everyone on campus wearing masks. Another initiative by the university was to supply every faculty, staff, and student with two NMU branded masks, which we have them right here. Very nice. And they also purchased 20,000 of these face masks. And on top of that, NMU purchased over 1,300 face shields to use in the healthcare programs and masks with clear fronts that will be used in some of the clinics around campus. Mike, talk to us a little bit about why you all decided to invest in these masks and the role that they play.
So the decision to purchase the masks and to distribute them to the faculty, staff, and students was to kind of get some consistency so that everyone had an opportunity to have the masks and have kind of a starting point. Obviously, there's other individuals that will want to wear their own mask, which is fine, but we felt that having a branded one would kind of put some unity to this whole, we're in this together, trying to make sure that, you know, we're all following the social distancing and wearing masks. And kind of putting our brand on it also.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, when we talk about all of this PPE, a big piece of that is storing it, ordering it, figuring out what is needed in each area, which includes plexiglass barriers. A lot of time was spent on this, as well as creating a plan to clean campus in a way that has never been done before. Here's a look at the cleaning, the PPE, and the ongoing effort to keep everything organized and stored. From plexiglass barriers in classrooms to masks and sanitizer stations, faculty, staff, and students will experience a new campus this fall. Changes designed with one thing in mind, safety. It starts with spraying every surface on campus using a new Clorox 360 machine.
The antimicrobial spray is basically a coating that does not leach into the skin. It's the best way to explain it is like Rain-X that you put on your windshield. So it creates a coating, and up to basically 2 years, it kills any germs that come into contact with it.
The fine mist spray has been used in the healthcare industry for over 10 years. Combine that with the daily spray the university has been using for a couple of years, along with individual spray bottles for each department, and Sager says campus will be clean and his staff will be ready.
We're going to have a more visible presence, and we'll be out and about and trying to get as much as we can as far as touch points go.
On top of cleaning, the use of PPE and plexiglass barriers across campus will be the norm. Stocking up on supplies and keeping it all organized has been a summer-long project. But through a partnership with Kimberly-Clark, bulk ordering through Fisher Scientific, and a plan to recycle gloves, departments will have what they need.
We are currently getting those orders in. We are finding some things are back ordered, but we are being guaranteed we are going to take delivery of all these materials. As of right now, they're still on track to get here by August 1st.
The barriers have been designed and made by NMU's Trades Department. You'll see them in nearly every location. A different style for different needs, all being built, delivered, and placed with the hope of keeping everyone on both sides of the glass safe.
Trying to meet all those functional operations to ensure that things are fluid, efficient, but yet safety is number one priority.
And Mike, this is another example of the investment being made into creating a safe campus. Certainly a huge part of the planning spreading across nearly every department. What has it been like trying to secure this amount of PPE, build what you can here in-house, and then trying to figure out what will work best?
We recognized early on that we weren't going to be the only ones needing to purchase PPE and create barriers. And so we started ordering materials and supplies a couple of months ago. And whenever we found the opportunity where we could buy large quantities, we placed orders, knowing that things are going to be different. Individuals that didn't necessarily use protective gloves in what they did would probably need to use them now. So we wanted to make sure we had enough to at least get this semester started, and then a continuing process of purchasing as we go forward. Individuals are going to be, they're not going to know what exactly what they might need, so we want to make sure that we have the ability to fill those orders as they come through. Another big part of the project was identifying what spaces needed to look like in order to maintain social distancing, and those that we couldn't maintain the 6 feet, we would put barriers in. So we needed to do that relatively soon so we knew what we had to build. As you saw on the video, we're building a lot of our barriers in-house and replacing them around the classrooms here in the next couple of weeks. So when the faculty, staff, and students come back to campus, the rooms will be set up in a safe manner following all the social distancing guidelines. And we visited every space on campus, including offices, conference rooms, departments, for example, here, to determine what we would need to put in place to make it safe.
Sure. So we've covered testing, cleaning, securing and distributing PPE and other various materials. All of this works as long as everyone knows what to do with it. So then there is the communication piece. Communication to faculty, to staff, to students. Making sure that when classes resume, to the best of your ability, everyone is on the same page. And so the NMU Safe Campus Initiative was created. Cindy, explain what that entails.
So the Safe on Campus campaign is our collective messaging to all the different various groups that we work with on campus and off. As you mentioned, it's students, faculty, staff, it's parents, it's prospective students and parents, it's our community members, legislators, and alumni and retirees. And they all have different questions, but they all have a lot of the same questions as well. And the Safe on Campus campaign tries to answer the most prevalent questions we have on campus in easy to understand ways. And sometimes we've used a little bit of humor. You'll see some fun posters going out that you don't want to make fun of COVID, but you also want to sort of, get the students to relate to the situation that it's not all dark and gloomy. If we take care of ourselves, we are in this together. Put your masks on, social distance, wash your hands frequently, try to help take care of people around you who have special needs. So that's the campaign, is really about taking care of each other. And by doing that, taking care of yourself, taking care of each other. And by doing that, we can have a safe campus. We can have a great college experience here at Northern Michigan University this fall semester, despite the COVID situation.
I couldn't believe how many different posters and signage and just different materials that Communications had come and created together for this. It's pretty incredible, the undertaking, but let's take a look at how it all came together. This fall, you'll see signage around campus pretty much everywhere. Signage indicating occupancy, reminding everyone to wear masks, how to travel in the halls, encouraging you to wash your hands. It will be in the bathrooms, the elevators, the halls, on the floors. You won't miss it.
Signage is going up. They're setting the classrooms. And so a classroom, say, that had a capacity of 40 is probably down to about 20. And so they're moving tables around, chairs, that type of thing. And there's signage for each one of those rooms.
It's a huge undertaking, creating not just campus-wide messaging, but working with each department to ensure their individual messages are also being communicated properly.
All the work that these work groups are doing, it's new. We've never done this before. And so, you know, we're trying to be nimble. We're producing signage on the spot. We can change things and really get what people need to best communicate to faculty, staff, and students.
It's about reinforcing all of the messages and answering questions as they come in, whether that's via the website or by keeping faculty and staff informed. And at the core, it's remembering that we all are truly in this together.
We are doing, you know, besides the instructional signs, you know, we're going to do some campaign type signs, encouraging people to make good choices both on campus and off campus. You know, when you have 8,000 people, you know, we're a large population. And so we're going to try to encourage people to be courteous, to be kind, do smart things, make good decisions.
And I think we can always use a little reminder about that. And, you know, there is so much information to relay this upcoming fall, communicating that properly through all of the different channels. Cindy, that is a huge undertaking.
Well, it's certainly been keeping us busy. And again, different groups have different questions that you need to take care of providing them. So we've all been working really hard and using as many different formats as we possibly can to reach the different groups and be able to provide the information that will help them as they prepare to come on campus. It really has been a huge undertaking, but our communications and marketing crew, and actually a lot of people across campus have been involved. They've done just a spectacular job, and we couldn't be more impressed with how they've turned around all that communications in such a short period of time.
And talk to us a little bit about the Passport app and what it was made for, how it was created, and how it's helping keep all the information together.
So our technology work group, when we were talking about having the big drug testing event, we were trying to figure out how would we coordinate all of this. And we have the most amazing technology people on campus. So as they were listening to us, they said, well, let's create, you know, an app. And so we were like, okay, let's create an app. So they created the Passport app where you can sign in to, you'll sign up for a testing time. And then on this app, because the event isn't just a test, you're also picking up your student ID card, you're picking up your parking pass if you have a vehicle on campus, you're picking up if you live on campus, you're picking up your residence hall room key or your apartment key. It's also picking up your pre-ordered books at the bookstore, and of course the laptop, the notebook computer that Northern gives all of the students. And so students get a lot of stuff at the start of this semester, so we thought, well, let's all put it in one place and they can go through. So the Passport app kind of shows each student what they need to pick up. So not every student is getting a parking pass, not every student lives on campus, they don't need a resident hall key, but this app shows them what their steps are so that they know how to go ahead and pick up all of this, all of these items. Additionally, most of these steps require some kind of a signed document typically on a piece of paper with a pen, but because we didn't want to be sharing pens and getting too close to each other, the app allows you to get these documents and to sign right on your smartphone or in some other methods if you have other technology. And so it's been just a really cool piece of, really a well-organized piece of technology for us to use for this big event that we have.
Yeah, and it makes the whole process so easy. Turning now to feeding students, this again is an area that will look very different. Dining operations on campus stayed open through the beginning of the pandemic, which allowed staff to figure out what worked and what didn't work, giving them a bit of an advantage this fall. The dining halls are quiet now, but soon thousands of students will return and will be ready to eat. Here at the Northern Lights Dining Hall, pre-COVID capacity was around 800 people. This fall, it will be around 400.
We've really looked at what do we have to do from a health and safety standpoint, what are the restrictions and requirements from the CDC and the local health department, and really just tried to make sure that our interpretation of it is accurate and our systems that we put into place adhere to all those guidelines.
To start, the dining department designated a COVID response lead who has created protocols and procedures for each location and area. Northern Lights Dining will be exclusively takeout through move-in, and when the dining area opens back up, students will be assigned sections as they enter the facility, and of course, masks will be required when moving around.
A phased approach that begins a little more restrictive than we have to will allow us then to transition and enhance our level of service as opposed to take away from the level of service.
Keeping students and dining staff safe is the priority. Dining employs over 500 students at their various locations. Training and the flexibility to adapt as the situation changes are what keeps them moving forward.
I think in general, what we've put together is really a testament to the team that was here throughout the early part of the pandemic. Those team members that were here from March all the way through May, ensuring the safe service of food to our students and our guests.
And that has been a constant theme in talking with these groups on campus. Every person I spoke with stressed the team aspect and just how many people are involved in modifying and adjusting campus life. Mike, talk about that, the process of getting everyone involved.
So we have the 11 work groups, and there's probably about 75 individuals total on those groups. And then we've embedded individuals from multiple groups into groups to help work through some of these decisions that have to be made. We could do a whole show just on thanking those individuals that have been part of all of the planning and the implementation of the plan. It's been a true team effort, and you know, following not only our guidelines, what we've come up with, but also vetting it against the executive orders and the CDC guidelines to make sure that we're following the appropriate safe guidelines that have been put forth. And as we all know, the executive orders have changed from the beginning of the pandemic to now. And so there's a review process that has to happen when a new one comes out, a new executive order, to make sure that what we have in place still is applicable. You know, it's one of those that it's kind of a moving target. You know, a lot of people say, well, did you have a lot of plans in place for this type of an event? We had some. But we're writing the manual on this one. You know, it is going to be different. And when you come to campus, it is going to look different. And there's going to be some different messaging out there than what a normal opening in the fall type atmosphere is going to be. But we sure need everybody's help. And, you know, students, faculty, staff, everybody needs to be, you know, cognizant of the social distancing, the mask wearing, and be patient, because we're going to find out that, you know, maybe this didn't quite go the way we wanted to, but we'll make it that way. You know, we'll figure it out, because, you know, we can sit down at a table and walk through all these different ideas, but we're going to need it's all going to be a team effort, you know, right from the students on up to the administration and everybody in between.
You know, we were just saying that a phrase that is repeated is that we're all in this together. But we really are. Yeah. And that phrase, I think, will continue to be repeated for a long time. Mm-hmm. And you know, that dining experience, it is one of the favorites among students, that and their housing experience. Our last segment today looks at the efforts being made to protect that experience, yet ensure that it's done as safe as possible. NMU Housing has been operating in some sense since the COVID pandemic started.
I think the best thing we've learned is how important our relationships are with students. So we work really hard, always have in housing, to build relationships with students, and we understand the value of that and what those relationships can accomplish when we're faced with adversity.
It's that mutual trust that got them through the pandemic and all of the changes. And Corpy is confident that this fall, even while there is a cloud of uncertainty among those returning, they'll be okay.
There's some anxiety. I think the best way we're trying to relieve that anxiety is through information and doing our best to provide accurate information, up-to-date information, and this whole thing has taught us about change.
Adapting to change. Students will feel and see those changes immediately. The move-in process will be different. Housing is staggering students' arrival. 5 students per household are permitted to move in every 3 hours. Parents and guests are not allowed to enter resident hall living spaces. And the usual events and activities surrounding move-in will be modified. And you can bet, every inch of every residence hall will be ready.
Just cleaning and maintenance and making our facilities completely ready. So when students start to arrive on August 8th, they have a clean and shiny residence hall room that's been gone through and sanitized, and all of our common areas are sparkling and ready to be occupied.
Now, Jeff Corpy said the residence halls are at full capacity. One hall, Spalding Hall, is being set aside for students that may need to quarantine. Mike, what are you expecting those first couple of weeks?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we'll get some idea on the prevalence with the testing that we're doing. We started testing this week, and obviously we'll continue starting next week through that process. You know, we're ready for it. We've got a plan in place, working with our health center. If somebody does end up in isolation or quarantine, we're working through delivery of food, other amenities that they might need in that 14-day time period. We've got, fortunately, we have a facility that will allow us to do some of that. And hopefully, you know, best case scenario, we don't have to put anybody in there. But, you know, realistically, I'm sure we're going to have some usage of that building, so.
And you know, we have just about a minute left. Final message for students. What is the most important thing that you want them to know?
Just, you know, be patient. You know, we're all in this together. You've heard us say that, you know, throughout this show and other communications. And the faculty staff, work with each other. If you're not feeling well, don't come to school. Don't come to work. You know, work through that so that we're trying to keep everybody as safe as possible. Wear your masks, social distance, not only on campus, but off campus. You know, when you're out in your everyday activities, you know, be safe. You know, to make some good choices, and hopefully we can open up and they'll have the experience, albeit different experience than what they're normally used to, but we'll be able to function and have classes. So.
And Cindy, a final message from you for students?
My photo message is that the things that will help us the most to keep campus safe are very doable things. We are not at the mercy of this virus completely. There are things we can do to keep it away from our homes and our residence halls, and that's wearing the mask, social distancing, washing your hands, and trying to be as safe as possible when you're around in large groups. So doable things.
Absolutely. Well, Mike and Cindy, I want to thank you both for your time today. We covered so much of what is happening right now on campus. Certainly, we don't have time for everything, but it's clear this is a campus-wide effort, and we wish you all the best. This has been a special Media Meet. Thank you to those of you watching and those listening on Public Radio 90. For WNMU, I'm Elizabeth Peterson. Stay safe.